A Champions League night to remember for two capital clubs. In Rome, Ciro Immobile's cool penalty and a first-leg Lazio advantage over Bayern. While Kylian Mbappe was decisive, as always, as Paris Saint-Germain defeated Real Sociedad in France. A Wednesday review and a preview of next week's round of 16 ties to come from Europe's best club competition. Welcome to the second night of the knockouts. European football expert Kevin Hatchard with me, Rob Daly. My date for Valentine's Day as we enjoyed two great games of football. It took a while for both ties to spring into life, Kev, but when they did, big, big moments in the Champions League.
And fair to say, there was a lot to love in both games. I think if you look at the Lazio game, for example, I think they defended incredibly well. Immobile, it's been a great few days for him, racking up 200 Serie A goals, then took his penalty incredibly well. Real Sociedad, brilliant without the ball in the first 55 minutes. Then Mbappe, who else, scores the opening goal for Paris and the game totally changes. So, you know, I think both of those teams from that game can take a fair bit of credit.
Yeah, finished Paris Saint-Germain 2, Real Sociedad 0, Lazio 1, Bayern 0. We're going to get into it. For a review of Copenhagen 1, Man City 3 and Leipzig 0, Real Madrid 1, download the previous edition of this podcast. But first, tonight to France, where Paris Saint-Germain were taking on La Real. Kevin was watching this match alongside Mark Scott.
Corner kick, Marquinhos' header, and stabbed in by Mbappe. There is the goal for Paris. And of course, it's Kylian Mbappe who has got it for the home side.
He's on the move when other players aren't, and he just reads the fact that it's going to be flicked on. Dembele whips it in with pace, the initial header from Marquinhos, and nobody has gone with Mbappe.
Brings it forward, scampers away from a challenge. Barcola through, oh! That is brilliant! Bradley Barcola with a beauty of a goal for Paris Saint-Germain to double their advantage against Real Sociedad. That was magical, that was majestic. Bradley Barcola dancing through the Sociedad defence and then poking beyond Ramiro.
And Mark joins Kev and myself. Now, Kylian Mbappe starting was one of the big talking points, Mark, because he didn't play at the weekend against Lille. No surprise he was decisive, but he and Paris had a difficult first half, really.
Yeah, and I think that was all down to the way Real Sociedad approached the game. Everyone had spoken beforehand about the fact that they like to exert a lot of pressure and have the ball and use that counter-pressing so effectively. It's such a high-energy, high-octane approach. But despite the fact that Paris seemed completely well-versed in what to expect, it appeared that they were caught a bit by surprise, or at least they were struggling to deal with that approach. And Real Sociedad were a dominant force in the first half. Yes, Kylian Mbappe had the only shot on target, which was saved well by Ramiro. But overall, you felt that the power of the game was generally with the away side, Kevin.
Started in the first couple of minutes. They were right into them from the get-go. And even if you've got the kind of backing that Paris get at the Parc des Princes, everybody gets a bit jittery when that happens, because you see your team losing the ball in their own defensive third and you think, oh, we're in for quite a tough game here. And they weren't just coming in ones or twos, they were swarming Paris in the way that they do. We know how well organised they are. So it's one thing to prepare for it in training, it's one thing to watch it on a video and say, this is what they do. When you're under the lights and people are running at you, it's a totally different experience. So they had to really get to grips with that. The one thing in that first half, I think when Emmanuel Alguacil, the Real Sociedad coach, looks back on it, he'll think, when we had those high turnovers and we had possession in their defensive third, didn't quite make best use of it. Little passes under hit, over hit, the wrong option, just little things. And that can happen. They're not experienced at this level of the UEFA Champions League. But I thought without the ball in that first half, they were absolutely absolutely stellar.
Fantastic. They went toe-to-toe with Paris. Not many sides go to the Parc de France and take the game to them, don't they? A lot of them would try and shut up shop and try and just come away, perhaps, with a 0-0. But that wasn't the game plan at all. They were pushing, they were in their faces. And at the end of that first half, had they maybe had some of the players they're missing through injury, they might have had the lead and then it might have been a different game, but I know it's all ifs and buts.
And the remarkable thing was there were spells when Real Sociedad, having won the ball, then started knocking it around.
Yeah.
And Zubimendi, who is such a good player at the heart of that midfield, covered more than 6 kilometres in that first half. So he did the work without the ball. Then he started, you know, he's been compared to Xabi Alonso. He's got a fair way to go yet, but you get the idea. They're very similar in the way they interpret and approach the game. And he was starting to knit things together. Take Kubo was enjoying himself against young Lucas Beraldo. And they started to really grow in stature. And then the game changes in the second half.
It certainly does. Paris had 54% of the ball. And as you mentioned, Kif, they're normally in the kind of 60% kind of possession yeah. area. It was something a bit different for them. And Real Sociedad had hit the bar. But let's get to the goal then, and the moment where the match had that pivot point really marked, didn't it?
It did, and I think Kevin pointed out at the time that they were a man down, weren't they, because Traore had gone off the pitch because he'd picked up a bit of a niggle. And from the resulting corner, Marquinhos wins a header, it goes to the far post, and we associate Kylian Mbappe with all these sort of blockbuster showstopper type goals, but this was a real poacher's finish, just in on goal, stuck out a boot, stabbed it into the net from close range, and Paris were in front. But you couldn't help wondering, Kev, perhaps if Traore had been on the pitch, whether he might have been picking him up.
Yeah, there's going to be a free man in that situation, but you don't want that free man to be Kylian Mbappe, and it shouldn't have been, really. I mean, they will look at it, and again, they'll analyse it and think, could we have had somebody track him? But actually, it's a real poacher's goal. He's got that instinct. He's on the move before anybody else is. But it comes from a couple of other things, actually. Ousmane Dembele whips it with real pace, and that's tough to defend. Marquinhos always, I think, attacks the ball in those attacking set pieces with such conviction. It actually comes off his number at the back. Actually comes off his back and then moves to the far post. And it's actually Take Kubo who just doesn't react in time. I mean, he's a winger. Defending is not necessarily a strong point, especially at set plays. And by the time he's reacting, it's too late. Mbappe's still got a lot to do because the ball's dropping out of the sky. He's got to stretch out his right boot to try and get there. Alex Ramiro's trying to close him down. It's a great finish. It's just a really well-taken goal, and it changed the whole fabric of the game.
Yeah, you could see the confidence as well in this sort of kind of new Paris Saint-Germain side. And speaking of this new team, Bradley Barcola, I mean, people who don't watch French football maybe won't have heard much about this young man who was signed for big money in the summer.
Yeah.
What can you tell us about Bradley Barcola? What score of a wonderful second goal tonight?
So he's been seen as a really promising player for quite some time in French football, and it was at Lyon where he really caught the eye first, scoring goals, making goals, taking people on one-on-one. He's very young still, he's 21, so he's going to be a bit hit and miss. Some of the stuff he does doesn't quite work out, that's fine.
Even in the goal, they were kind of heavy touches, weren't they, at times? Yeah.
And there's a moment earlier in the half, actually, where he's away from Traore, but he just touches it a little bit too far, and Ramiro's able to come in and make a sprawling save. But I thought he actually ground down Traore over the course of the second half, because Traore was fine in the first half and he was dealing with Barcola and it was all okay. By the end, he was backing
was
off every time,
right,
and Barcola's got him. So the second goal, again, as you say, he's not quite in control of what's happening, but he hits you with such an explosion of acceleration, and he was just too quick for them. And the finish is actually a really well-taken finish. I mean, he's got so much room to grow. He's mega exciting.
I think something I want to point out as well is that the only member of the front three who didn't score tonight that started the game in the front three was Ousmane Dembele, but I thought he was the player of the game for me personally,
yeah,
because it was his corner for the opening goal, which, as Kevin mentioned, had that brilliant whip on it. some outrageous skill in the build-up to Barcola's goal when he was leading the Sociedad defence, a merry dance as they tried to get it off him, and then suddenly there was a big switch and they were away. And just overall, he was making things happen all over the pitch. He was the outlet for them in the first half. I thought he was sensational. And, you know, then you factor in the fact that he didn't even score and he was so impressive. I was really, really taken by his showing.
We're just actually seeing on our monitors in the commentary position, we're just actually seeing a replay of the second goal. If Dembele doesn't turn and take three players out the game, that Barcola goal can't happen, because he's suddenly got them on the run and he's pulled in three of them. And then Fabian Ruiz is able to keep it moving to Barcola. And suddenly, instead of having to beat two players, he's only got Traore. And Traore, Barcola's in his head by that point, and he's backing off instead of moving into him. But none of that can happen unless Dembele sucks them all in and then creates the space.
Kylian Mbappe's centre forward then, we've seen a fair bit of this season. We know him really in this competition as a player out on the left, cutting in and causing problems. What do we think of Kylian Mbappe, player of the match, as a striker?
I like it. I think it can really work, because I know that he's expressed a wish to maybe play off
with a centre forward.
That whole pivot gang thing that he had going on. But look, I don't think he needs to, because with this team, you've got Dembele creating spaces on one side, you've got Barcola or Colomouani on the other. Let them cause all of the problems there, and then he's got space. He'll learn. I mean, he's still learning. It's one of the, I think for me, the most effective player in the world right now, for what that's worth. He's still learning, still getting better. And in the centre forward position, he's got everything you need. Ball striking, finishing, composure, pace, the lot. There's no reason why he can't really embrace that position.
No goal in five games now for La Real as well, because they had those 3-0 lost at the weekend. We were watching back the highlights as well today, weren't we, Mark? The Osasuna defeat at the weekend, and how many times they came close to scoring. But a notable absentee up front might be a factor at the moment for La Real.
Absolutely. Mikel Oyarzabal was thought to be in with a chance of being able to feature today, but he wasn't in the squad at all. So obviously that muscle injury that's been plaguing him recently wasn't one he was able to overcome. And it was a shame from their perspective, because as Kevin was pointing out, the game plan in the first half meant that they did get a few decent sights of goal, but they just weren't clinical enough. And as you say, it's a recurring theme for them, scoring goals. They've spoken about how they're not concerned because the opportunities are still being created. But if you're not taking them, you know, that's another game without a goal.
And especially in this competition.
Exactly.
When you're an underdog, you need your moments. Take your moments.
That's it. And this is, you know, this is as high as it gets level-wise, the UEFA Champions League. And that's the kind of level you've got to reach. And if you're in a situation where one of your leading players in the attack is missing, I've got a lot of time for Ander Balanacher. I think he's going to be a great player. Love the way he approaches things. Love his energy. He's only 22. And in terms of this competition, he's not experienced, and he just lost his way a little in the second half. And that can happen to a young player. And that's where you're missing that experience of Oyarzabal, because, you know, not only could he carry the ball well, but he's really smart in the central areas. They were just really missing him there. So, look, that's the difference. Paris brought on Rondon Colomouani and Marco Asensio in those wide areas. Now, that's the difference that we're talking about.
Let's hear from the UEFA Player of the Match, Kylian Mbappe.
We wanted to win at home. It was the objective, and we did it. Now we have another game to play before we have 3 or 4 games with the league. So we are happy now, but the job is not done. It's really important always, because we know how tough it is to take the advantage in the Champions League. And now we did it, and we have to keep going, to keep working like a team, and we're going to be there for a win and to go to the quarterfinals.
9 goals in 10 Champions League appearances and in 68 career appearances in the competition. Of course, started as a young player at Monaco. 68 games, 44 goals, 26 assists. Just built for this competition, wasn't he, Kylian Mbappe? Return leg Tuesday, 5th of March, and we'll weigh up La Real's chances of turning it around in 3 weeks' time later on in the show. Still to come, we'll look back at Wednesday's other huge tie in the Champions League.
UEFA Champions League Match Day Live with you, wherever you go. With audio commentary, real-time stats and much, much more, get the complete experience and download the official Champions League app today.
Next to Italy, where Lazio were hosting Bayern. Mike Sewell was watching.
Referee has dismissed Dio Upamecano and given Lazio a penalty. It's Immobile against Neuer. He steps forward, right-footed. Neuer goes the wrong way, and Ciro Immobile literally slides the ball into the bottom corner of the net, heads straight for the photographers behind the goal to celebrate with his teammates. The Lazio fans are jubilant. It's Lazio 1, Bayern München 0. And having been beaten here comfortably 3 years ago at the same stage of the Champions League, Lazio have beaten Bayern München thanks to their captain Ciro Immobile's penalty, and they will take an advantage to Munich for the second leg of this round of 16 tie.
And Mike joins us now. Mike, first of all, what a night for Lazio.
Absolutely, but they had to repel a lot of Bayern pressure. They had to be disciplined. They had to be determined in their performance. And it worked, because they knew that Bayern would probably have most of the possession during the course of the game, and they did that in the first half. But one thing they couldn't do was find a way through. They didn't have a single shot on target in the entire game. But in that first half, there was a free kick from Leroy Sané, which was narrowly wide. Jamal Musiala shot just over, and Bayern had a lot of the possession. But Lazio soaked it up, and then at the start of the second half, they came out fighting and almost took the lead 3 minutes into the second half, when Gustav Isaksson was put through by Luis Alberto, and if it wasn't for Manuel Neuer's right leg, it would have been Lazio's lead as early as that. But then, again, it sort of slipped back into the type that we'd seen in the first half, where Bayern had a lot of the ball and Lazio had to concede it, but they defended so well as a unit. They were so disciplined throughout the team during the course of the game. They kept Bayern at bay, and then, of course, the big turning point when Upamecano went in to challenge Gustav Isaksson, who was shooting towards goal from inside the area. He caught him, and the referee was right there, right on hand, to award the penalty and dismiss Upamecano despite his protests. And then the penalty itself was coolness personified from Ciro Immobile. He put the ball to Neuer's left. Even with Neuer's experience, he went completely the wrong way, and then Lazio just held out. And to sum up the performance, there was one particular incident that involved the player that proved to be the player of the match, UEFA's player of the match, Matteo Guendouzi, the midfielder for Lazio. He put in an excellent block on Nasser Mazraoui just before the penalty. He literally threw himself in front of Mazraoui as he eyed up goal, and that summed up Lazio's performance. Mike, Harry Kane's having an amazing season for Bayern. How were Lazio able to cut off the supply to him? Well, certainly in the first half, the supply was cut, and he had one opportunity very early on where Müller set him up inside the area, but he flashed at it very quickly and got underneath the ball and lifted it high over the crossbar. But aside from that, he didn't really have many other opportunities. He was involved in a lot of the approach play. He was fairly peripheral in varying points of the match, but certainly it was a... And I think what's worth pointing out from a Bayern perspective is that they put in a better performance than they put in the game against Leverkusen at the weekend. It was a reaction that Thomas Tuchel would have liked in terms of the performance, but in terms of the way that they were inefficient in front of goal, that will be hard to swallow. And Thomas Müller has said after the game that he felt they should have been in front at half-time, and I think possibly they should have been, but Lazio played their game perfectly and it paid off.
Well, let's hear from a disappointed Harry Kane now on what was a difficult night for the German champions.
Jamal had one, Josh had one from the edge of the box, and in these games, you know, they're big moments, and we wasn't able to take it in the first half, but the second half was disappointing. We come out with less energy, less confidence, too many balls given away, and ultimately we got punished, you know, and once you go down to 10 men, it's always difficult to find a way back into the game. But I think for us now, we have to find it amongst ourselves. We have to find more energy, more confidence, We are still in the race for the Bundesliga, still in this tie, you know, when they come to our stadium in a few weeks. So we have to keep fighting and look forward and try and turn our momentum around. The good thing is that we have big games, we have big things to fight for still. So we're not out of it, we'll never give up. And we just need to turn it around. You know, one game or one spark can change a lot in football, and we need to try and find that. So we'll push together, you know, we'll push each other in training and in the game on the weekend and try and find it.
Kane still sounds positive, Kev. I mean, they're coming into this game in the context of the defeat to Bayer Leverkusen, going 5 points to the top, but you wouldn't rule out Bayern in any kind of situation.
Absolutely not. No, you look at their home record in the Champions League, it's very, very strong. So they will feel they can turn it around. They have scored an amazing amount of goals, not just in the Champions League, but in the Bundesliga as well. I mean, 59 and counting, the top scorers in the Bundesliga. So they've got the firepower. It'll be an incredible atmosphere in Munich, no doubt about that. And they will look to make a very, very fast start. So Lazio have defended incredibly well in this first leg. They're going to have to do it again, because I've got no doubt whatsoever that Bayern will make plenty of chances in that second leg. It's just about whether they'll be able to take
a first round of 16, first leg defeat for them since 2012. It speaks to their quality in this competition. And for Ciro Immobile, Mike, another stand-up moment in what has been a good few days for the Italian.
Yeah, well, he scored his 200th Serie A goal the weekend against Cagliari. And tonight, even though he had to play a role that wasn't necessarily one you'd want to play as a striker, his opportunities were few and far between. He had to drop deep on a lot of occasions. He had to play for the team. When the opportunity arose, i.e. the penalty, he took it, and he took it with aplomb. It was a really well-taken penalty. He didn't have to thrash it into the net. He didn't have to put it right into the corner. He just had to outwit Manuel Neuer in the Bayern München goal, and he did it really well. And that will be a very important goal to take to Munich. It's worth pointing out that that's only Bayern's second defeat in their last 18 UEFA Champions League matches, the other being to a team that plays in light blue as well, Manchester City. So no mean feat from Lazio to get a victory tonight, but it is only half-time, and we know what Bayern can do in this competition.
Just talking about Immobile, I think he's actually got a real role to play in that second leg, because Bayern are going to squeeze up. They're going to play a high defensive line. That's what they always do. What does Immobile love?
Yep.
Balls in behind. So if they can find him, he's got an opportunity maybe to cause some problems at the other end. I think the caveat here when we talk about Bayern that has to be borne in mind is the injuries they have and have had all season. And Alphonso Davies being out is massive. Upamecano's been in and out with injury. They've had other players out, Coman's out at the moment.
Gnabry, yeah.
Gnabry's been out for most of the campaign. So, you know, that does have a cumulative effect over time. But Bayern absolutely do still have the quality to be able to turn it round. So Lazio know the challenge that faces them.
And obviously, Upamecano will be missing for the second leg.
Yes, so. Yeah. We saw De Ligt come on in the second half, didn't we? So we'll see what they do for that game. And they've signed Eric Dier. We'll see who they start in roughly 3 weeks' time on Upamecano. How about this for a stat? De Upamecano is only the third player to receive a red card in the Champions League on Valentine's Day. You knew this one, of course, Kev. After Roque Jr., Milan against Paris Saint-Germain, and Benjamin Pavard for Bayern last year against Paris Saint-Germain. So they'll be without a big French defender for that second leg on Tuesday the 5th of March. Week one of this season's round of 16 has not disappointed, and the Champions League continues apace next Tuesday and Wednesday as the four other first legs take place. You'll hear every save, tackle and goal right here on Match Day Live, with some serious contests to look forward to. John Bradley has more.
Last season's beaten finalists kick things off in 6 days' time when Inter welcome Atletico to San Siro.
Di Marco down the left-hand side, a chance to pull it across to Lautaro Martinez, and Mkhitaryan makes it 2-0! What a start for Inter! Mkhitaryan arrived on the edge of the box and blasted it home!
Grisman with the overhead! 2-2! The last kick potentially of this first half. A typical goal from Antoine Griezmann.
Surprisingly, this is the first ever meeting in the Champions League between these two clubs, although they did meet in the Super Cup back in 2010, when Atletico won by 2-0. Diego Simeone knows Inter well, having played for the Nerazzurri between 1997 and 1999. And Atletico know all about a big night in Milan, even if one of their previous trips back ended in final heartbreak.
Cristiano Ronaldo scores the winning penalty for Real Madrid. It's their day yet again.
2016 was Atletico's last trip to the final. Find out from 2100 CET whether they can start this season's knockout stage challenge in style. We'll have regular updates from Eindhoven as well. Expect goals when Peter Bosz takes on his former club.
It's a good ball in as well, and it's a winning goal! Ricardo Pepi from 2-0 down. PSV have snatched it in stoppage time.
It's Brandt, he can roll it into Sabitzer or go for goal. He does the latter, and Dortmund lead by two. An attacking Newcastle free kick turns into a Dortmund second goal.
PSV against Dortmund is an intriguing tie, and almost a local derby given that Eindhoven is only a two-hour drive from the BVB Stadion. The German club will be wary of Luke de Jong, who is enjoying one of his best seasons in front of goal at the age of 33. He's already scored seven times in the Champions League.
16th goal of the Skipper's season already, made by Bakayoko. And PSV's number nine does the rest.
So it's Inter against Atletico and PSV versus Dortmund next Tuesday. On Wednesday, we'll take you to Portugal and Italy.
Ivan Ilsson will get the shot away and tapped him from close range by you-know-who, Taremi, right place, right time, inside the opening 5 minutes. Porto have the advantage.
Martinelli, he's clean through again for Arsenal on the stroke of half-time, and he will score from one end to the other in a matter of 10 seconds.
Porto against Arsenal will be our commentary match in a week's time. It's now 20 years since the Portuguese side shocked Europe to win the Champions League under Jose Mourinho. We'll also have the goals as they go in from Naples.
Zielinski flicks his hair, puts his hands on his hips, and now addresses the ball, right-footed, and it's into the bottom corner. It's gone in off the post.
And Fermín López marks his full Champions League debut with his first Champions League goal.
Napoli against Barcelona could be a thriller. And given that he starred for both clubs, it will be a special night in the Stadio Diego Armando Maradona. Matchday Live is on air from 2000 CET on both nights. Make sure you follow next week's Four Ties right here on the show.
John Bradley previewing next week's round of 16 games. Let's do a bit of quickfire Kev, where we quickly go through the ties and get some thoughts from you, Kev. So Tuesday, Inter league leaders in Italy take on fourth place in La Liga, Atletico.
Yeah, Diego Simeone derby, of course, has strong connections to both clubs. I think Inter are the best team in Italy by quite a distance. I've felt that all the way through the season. They're showing that in the title race against Juventus. I think it's at least as good, this Inter team, as the one that got all the way to the final of the Champions League last season. So Atletico are going to have to hit top gear if they're going to live with them. PSV against Borussia Dortmund, the Peter Bosz Classico, of course, Dortmund come up against their former coach. PSV going brilliantly in the Eredivisie. They've been absolutely outstanding, also in this competition. But I've been really impressed with Dortmund, actually, since the turn of the year. Got Jadon Sancho back, and I feel like they're gaining momentum. Ian Maarten's done brilliantly since going there on loan from Chelsea. Porto, Arsenal.
What are you just doing all these? I don't have to ask anything. Just go through them. Yeah, Porto, Arsenal.
Arsenal, for me, dark horses to win the thing. I actually think they're capable. I think they've looked really, really strong in the group stage of this competition. Porto going to the Dragão is always a real test of how tough you are, how competitive you can be. I actually think Arsenal do have the steel to actually get through that. And Napoli against Barcelona, two teams who are domestic champions who haven't quite defended those titles in the way that they wanted to. So this offers them an opportunity for a bit of redemption. And what we do have is incredible players on both teams. So that could be one of the ties of the round.
Yeah, job done. Quickfire Kev. I think that's a good feature to keep going for the rest of the knockout stages. Let's go back to tonight's action and assess second leg chances and comebacks for the respective sides. Actually, let's start with Lazio Bayern with this then, and we'll hear from Bayern's forward Thomas Müller, who is fairly upbeat about their chances of progressing.
Was a little bit unlucky, but you also have to say that Ciro Immobile forced two, three, four guys to fight with him without winning the ball. And in the end, with the red card, maybe 30 minutes with one man down, it's okay result. I'm long enough in this business. 1-0 is not good. We wanted more, but they have to come to Munich, and we will see what will happen. But with one man down, with the 1-0, I'm fine.
Yeah, it seems relaxed. Thomas Müller, way more vocal, wasn't he, at the weekend after the defeat to Bayer Leverkusen. Mike, how do you assess Bayern's chances of turning it around?
I think they have every possibility of turning it around in the second leg. It's going to be an even tougher night for Lazio in Munich, but given that they've done it tonight, they will have plenty of confidence that they can do it again, even though it's away from home.
Mike, your moment of the night from Rome.
I have to say, it's Immobile's calmness for the penalty. He gave Manuel Neuer the eyes without giving anything away. Cool as you like.
Mike, thank you very much for your company. Let's go back to Paris Saint-Germain 2, Real Sociedad 0 with Kev and Mark. Alexandra Johnson joined us earlier on in the show. Our Real Sociedad correspondent said 2-0 wouldn't be a bad result. Sure enough, it has finished that way. Are La Real still in the tie?
Yes, they are, especially if they can get the early opening goal in the return leg, and the atmosphere will be absolutely off the chart even before that. So, yes, I still think that they're in the mix.
Spot on. Key is the first goal in that second leg, because if La Real can get it, that will just get the crowd going. They'll have that energy. They play with incredible energy anyway. Be a real test mentally for some of those young Paris players.
Moment of the night?
I would say Ousmane Dembele's skill in the build-up to Barcola's goal. It was magnificent, and for me, he was the standout player tonight as well.
I'd go along with that, but I'll go for Barcola's goal itself, because it was an excellent finish.
It really has been a love-in, hasn't it, between you two on Valentine's Day?
Well, I was going to say, actually, my standout moment was spending Valentine's Day with you two.
Very kind, Mark. Well, that is all we have time for this evening. We'll be back on Tuesday, the 20th of February, from 8 p.m. CET, for more live round of 16 first leg action, full match commentary of Inter versus Atletico, as well as live updates from PSV Eindhoven versus Borussia Dortmund. Then on Wednesday, the 21st of February, Arsenal travel to Porto and Napoli host Barcelona. What a tie that's going to be in Italy. Don't forget, you can download our official podcast shortly after every single match night via your favourite podcast provider. But for now, me, Rob Daly, and the rest of the Match Day Live team, it's goodbye.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Match Day Live.